The End. You've been listening to Ulysses by James Joyce, narrated by Donald Donnelly and Miriam Healy-Louis. Joyce ends the final page of Ulysses with Trieste, Zurich, Paris, 1914 to 1921, the cities in which he wrote it and the years of its composition. Since the unusual publishing history of Ulysses continues to generate debate, we have included here Hans Walter Gabler's afterword. James Joyce first conceived of Ulysses as a tale to be added to Dubliners. The short story was never written. Yet the idea implied in the title was not abandoned. Latent for the 7 years from 1907 to 1914, during which A Portrait of the Artist as a Young Man was written, it reemerged as the conception for a novel. Joyce took another 7 years to write it. On the 29th of October, 1921, he announced with relief that it was finished, though he continued to correct and revise proofs until the end of January, 1922. Nevertheless, an efficient printer and a dedicated publisher, Maurice d'Arantier, master printer of Dijon, and Sylvia Beach, American owner of the Paris bookshop Shakespeare and Company, managed to achieve the planned publication date. They presented to the author two copies of Ulysses, bound in the Greek colors, on the 2nd of February, 1922, James Joyce's 40th birthday. The earliest extant manuscripts for Ulysses, following initial sketches and drafts written during the first 3 years of planning and composition that have not been preserved, are fair copies of the opening chapters, together with a penultimate draft of the third, Proteus, episode. They date from late 1917. From this time onwards, the novel's growth is comprehensively documented. The composition proceeded episode by episode. A few fragmentary drafts survive. The complete chapter manuscripts that we still possess are usually the fair copies written out at each juncture in the composition. Fair copies were never made of episodes 10, 17, and 18, Wandering Rocks, Ithaca, and Penelope, which remain in their last drafts. Spanning a period of 4 years, 1917 to 1921, the 18-chapter autographs form the collection known today as the Rosenbach Manuscript of Ulysses. Joyce had a typescript prepared of each episode just finished, from which it could be typeset and printed. The typists were a series of amateurs recruited over the same 4-year span in Zurich, Trieste, and Paris. Joyce provided them with either the chapter fair copies or late drafts, or final working manuscripts, now lost, from which the corresponding fair copies also derive. If the latter, some time apparently elapsed between the making of fair copies and the typing. For the chapters concerned, episodes 5 through 9, 11, and 13 and 14, Lotus Eaters, to Scylla and Charybdis, Sirens, Nausicaa, and Oxen of the Sun, the typescripts give a mainly revised text most readily explicable on the assumption that the final working manuscripts were gone over after the fair copies had been made from them. The assumption is essentially proved by the reciprocal circumstance that the fair copies at times revise the text as documented in the typescripts. Clearly, Joyce revised as he made fair copies. He generally transferred the revisions back to the final working manuscripts, whence they reached the chapter typescripts. But occasionally he failed to do so, so that some revisions have remained unique to the fair copies, from which the text did not further develop. Yet the fact that some revisions are recorded only in a document outside the text's main line of descent may be considered accidental. Since it was the act of making fair copies that gave the impulse to revise, which carried forward into the last revision of the final working manuscripts, the whole process of revision was, in truth, continuous. Hence, all recoverable changes it occasioned belong to the stage of the text's development that the documents comprise, and thus ultimately to a validly revised text of Ulysses. This has been recognized for this edited text, which for the first time incorporates revisions from the fair copies of the episodes in question. Each chapter typescript was delivered in a top copy and at least two carbons. All three copies were usually slightly revised as the typists returned them. Often, two would also be corrected with some care while the third was laid aside, revised but uncorrected. For episodes 1 to 14, this procedure had textual consequences. The two fully marked copies were sent to Ezra Pound in London, who helped Joyce to get Ulysses serialized. One became the printer's copy for the American serialization in the Little Review, which began in March 1918 and ended with the final intervention of the New York censors in late summer 1920. The other, intended for Joyce's benefactress Harriet Weaver, was in part used to set up the fragmentary English serialization in The Egoist. The third copy was never meant to be more, it seems, than a spare record. Yet when, in the spring of 1921, neither of the fully marked typescripts was retrievable as printer's copy from Maurice de Rentière, the third copy had to meet the emergency. Joyce heavily overlaid it with a second round of revisions. But at a distance of up to 4 years, he recaptured only a fraction of the corrections that it had still needed. The serializations, therefore, though they are derivative and hence technically unauthorized, as well as full of misprints, nevertheless reflect the original marking of the unretrieved typescripts. Where all typescript copies are lost, as they are for episodes 1 to 3 and 5, Telemachus to Proteus and Lotus Eaters, the latter half of episode 4, Calypso, and the opening of episode 6, Hades, the serializations alone bear witness to the corrected and early revised state of the chapter typescripts. Throughout episodes 1 to 14, they confirm the early revisions and add to the corrections evident from de Rentière's printer's copy and the text for the book edition as first set up. Occasionally, moreover, they reveal revisions, such as the preposition on for by in the novel's second sentence. A yellow dressing gown, ungirdled, was sustained gently behind him on the mild morning air, that were not made in the third typescript copy. These revisions, missing in the printer's copy, did not appear in the book text, but are now properly restored. Finally, on successive sets of proofs, which have all been preserved, sometimes as many as 9 or 10 sets for a given 16-page signature, Joyce further extensively revised the novel for book publication. Through all the changes and additions to typescripts and proofs, including comparatively few revisions now recovered from the serializations and from the fair copies of some chapters, he expanded the text by a good third over the state represented in the collective autograph of the Rosenbach manuscript. He was born on a crest of creative activity to within days of publication. Yet once the book was out, Joyce did not further revise Ulysses. Nor, although intensely conscious of the printer's errors remaining in the first edition, did he contribute more than sporadically and fragmentarily to the efforts of others, for example, Sylvia Beach, Harriet Weaver, and later Stuart Gilbert, to weed them out. He helped to compile the errata which were listed in the second and fourth impressions of the first edition and were mainly corrected in the second edition of 1926. But no subsequent editions during Joyce's lifetime, save the 1937 trade reprint from corrected plates of the 1936 first limited English edition, revealed discernible traces of the author's hand in their textual changes. While correcting some of the obvious errors from the first edition, these subsequent editions invariably each introduce a complement of misprints of their own. The first edition of 1922, then, is Ulysses, as Joyce allowed it to go before the public. As a work of literature, and as an artifact of the printer's trade, it is of historic importance. Yet as Joyce himself was the first to be aware, the text it carries is corrupt. Joyce's helpers, as well as many a conscientious later proofreader in the course of the book's publishing history, attempted, on the whole unsuccessfully, to mend it at the surface. For the critical edition of 1984, we chose a different approach, endeavoring to attack the corruption at the roots. The deeper faults of the text as published originated throughout the pre-publication transmission from drafts to fair copies to typescripts to print. The rich array of surviving documents that record the work's development made it possible to catch the text before these corruptions occurred and to rebuild Ulysses as Joyce wrote it. In the critical edition, this process is reflected in a twofold presentation. The core of that edition is an edited synoptic analysis of the growth of the text through all stages of composition and revision, from the fair copies or final working drafts to the first edition. The synopsis represents an innovative method of displaying a text as it constituted itself in the process of writing. Jointly with a conventional scholarly apparatus, it records the documentary evidence and explains and justifies all editorial decisions. It is also a critically relevant text of Ulysses in its own right. Its final extrapolation is a reading text which in the critical edition accompanies the synopsis, but which in the present edition is set forth by itself to stand on its own merits. A new original text, established from the acts of writing as recorded in the documents through which the novel developed, this reading text for Ulysses is thus, as nearly as editorial skill and critical understanding have been able to render it, a non-corrupted counterpart to the first edition of 1922. Yet it should be understood that it is an edited and not a definitive text. No text written or edited can be wholly divorced from the processes of writing and editing and the decisions and judgments that they entail. Hence, definitive texts do not in truth exist, but at the most approximations to the best possible text. Hans Walter Gabler. If you've enjoyed this book and this performance, Recorded Books recommends James Joyce's Dubliners and A Portrait of the Artist as a Young Man, both read by Donald Donnelly. You'll find a wide selection of titles, including bestsellers, histories, classics, histories, and more in the Recorded Books catalog. So to order another recorded book, or for a copy of our latest listing, call us toll-free nationwide at 1-800-638-1304. You can order by phone with Visa or MasterCard, or by writing to us, or by faxing us at 410-535-5499. Don't forget to ask about easy 30-day rentals by mail. And thank you for being a Recorded Books reader.